Well, good morning. It is so good to be with you today. I understand Mike is in Greece. At least that's what he told you, right? I told that boy he needs a hobby. But you're fortunate, you're blessed because you are his hobby. I try to get him to go hunt and fish all the time, but he's always talking about you in the last 40 years. I was 23 years old when he first started here, and I was living in Lafayette, Louisiana. And in Lafayette, Louisiana, he would try to get me to come up. He said, "Man, there's a lot of quail on this property, a lot of squirrels," and that's how he would get me to come up. I'm real disappointed because y'all ruined my hunting land with your growth and building all these buildings. And so I used to shoot the squirrels in the graveyard. But anyway, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited about it. When he first asked me about a month ago, he asked me if I would come, and he even tried to tell me what to preach. So, and I told him, no, I would love to do it, love to be a part, because it seems like, yeah, I know you. It feels like I'm a guest today because I've kind of grown up coming and visiting for those who don't know me, because I know we always have a new families come in, but it seems like I've always had an opportunity to speak to you. So I'm really grateful for that. And first of all, just want to acknowledge the King Coffee Band. Weren't they good? They were awesome. I don't know. What do you call them? The worship team. That's so generic. I like the King Coffee Band. I'm gonna tell you, they put us in the right mood and in the worship time. They were incredible. That's really the first time I've got a chance to hear them, and so thank you guys for that, and thank you, Chance. Now, before we get started, I'd like to do this. I'd like to take about a minute or so in silence. And during this minute or so, what I want you to do is I want you to prepare your hearts for the word, for the message that's going to be spoken, and that the Holy Spirit would reveal whatever you need to has to be revealed to you today. Whatever struggle you're going through today, whatever you may need to get yourself clean during this time. I don't know. I cannot prepare you for this moment. Only you can prepare yourself for this moment. So it may be a little awkward at times when you hear silence, but I'm going to ask us to do that just for about a minute, and then I'll get started again. So now that you know what I'm asking, let's go ahead and take a moment of silence, would you? Thank you, Lord, for this morning and for this day and preparing our hearts, Father, to hear your words. May the Holy Spirit come, and may the Holy Spirit reveal these things to us today, whatever that is needed for us. In Jesus we pray, amen. I've failed to mention and acknowledge my wife, Chris Ann, is with me today, so some of you will get a chance to meet with her. We've been married 37 years, so I know y'all pray for her. Yeah. I want to talk to you this morning about your platform and his purpose. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 14 through 16. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is on the hillside, and the famous Sermon on the Mount chapter that goes through. But this is the second part of when Jesus says that we're salt and light. But I want to take a look at the second part of this in verse 14. 14, it says this: "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill, it cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." And verse 16 tells us, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, we often think of ministry as something that's reserved for pastors or missionaries or people on church stages. But God's given every believer a platform. A unique place of influence, a voice, a skill, an opportunity to serve Him and point others to Jesus. Whether it's your job, whether it's school, whether it's your hobbies, but your community, your deer leases, your duck camps, your platform is not an accident. Your platform is not an accident. And it's a gift and a responsibility. You see, God is the giver. God is the giver of platforms. God gives us these platforms so that we can use that to shine the light, to show His good deeds through us. And sometimes we often think that the only time that we can have a platform is here in church. But we know that's not to be true. We know that we're called to go out into the communities, but to use the giftedness that God has given us to use for His glory. Now, you've been given platforms, and you may have not have thought about it but until now, but and some of you have, but I recall platforms in my life at an early age. Now, James 1:17, you don't have to turn there, but James 1:17 says, every good, perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. So whatever platform you have, whatever large or small, comes from God. You might be a teacher, an artist, a farmer, a mechanic, a student, a parent, a business owner. The point isn't how big the platform is. The point is, are you using it for God's glory? You see, God gave Joseph a platform in the Pharaoh's court. He gave Esther a platform in the palace. He gave Paul a platform in the Roman court. And so we begin to see that these are platforms that they're given. And you're with a purpose. We begin to understand these platforms God's given us. Now, I begin to understand that at the age of 15. And on the drive over, I got to thinking about that. Did I really understand that first time that I got used that platform? Probably not. But from my earliest recollection, that was a day that I invited a friend of mine named Joey. I was 15 years old, and in the city of New Orleans, they had these health clubs, and they were very popular. They were getting popular. The schools at that time didn't really have weights and gyms for you to work out in, but they had city clubs. And so if for $5, you could go and work out all day and use the whole facility. And so that sounded like a good idea. And so working out began a platform for me. We would run together. We'd work out together. And on this particular day, we decided to go to the health club. And as we were at the health club, we went through most of the things, and then there was a sign that said sauna. And I didn't know what a sauna was, and Joey didn't know what a sauna was. I said, "Hey, we paid $5. You want to go get in a sauna?" He goes, "Yeah, let's go do it." And when I got in there, I realized that I didn't like the sauna. And I looked at him, and I said, "You know, it is hot as Hades in here, man, but I'm sure glad I'm not going." And he looked at me and said, "How do you know you're not going?" And I began to tell him about the love of Christ and what Christ did for me at the age of 10, and when I understood it to mean that I needed a Savior of my sins, that I was a sinner. And all of a sudden, he looked at me and he said, "Well, I'd like to receive Christ." And I prayed with him in that sauna. So that was the first recollection of a platform that God had given me, was to use the same interest that we had in working out. It became later another platform, and it just goes to show you, you know, God's seed could be planted anywhere, and it can harvest anywhere. It's not, sometimes we put it in a box. We put our relationship with Christ in a box and think this is the only time that we do this. But this is part about building relationships. I know your pastor does a great job with it. He knows all your names, you know. I mean, it's incredible what he does and what he can do, but he works at it, you know. I mean, it's important to him. And when it becomes important to him, it's special to you because he works at it. That's a platform for you for him to know your name and to remember your name. Guess what? You're going to come back. You go, "This guy's interested in me." Well, that's the same thing that when we live in a community, that's the same thing that others are looking to see. Do we really care about them? And these platforms that God has given us, it comes from Him. He's the one who gives us the passion for it. Now, they did have football was a great platform for me in high school. And I used that platform. God had called me into a private school and Archbishop Rummel High School in New Orleans. And God put me there. I was the only Baptist in that that school. And my nickname was Jeff the Baptist for a while. But I wasn't there. I was there because they recruited, and they said they didn't, but they did. And so that, to be honest with you, I was there. But I used it as a platform. I was able to share my faith, and a lot of guys came to Christ. And so I was very fortunate. So yes, so look at football. Is football important? Yeah, it's important. Because God's the one who put that in my life. He's the one who gave me that ability to do that. He gave me the passion for it. Who do you think gave it to me? It was God. God gave me the passion for that. And so I used my passion for His glory. Are you starting to track what I'm trying to get you to understand? Is that what you are passionate about, God can take that and use it for His glory. And that's really what makes it even greater. And so I begin to understand that playing on the team and being the captain, I was given great responsibility, but yet greater responsibility through my Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And so I started using football as an opportunity. And then the next platform that God gave me was, I wasn't quite out of high school, but I had a love and a passion for hunting and fishing. I mean, I just, Mike didn't get that, you know. I can't believe I'm going to say. If I was around, we'd all be calling him Pastor Nervine. He was a nervous wreck every time we went anywhere. He couldn't sit still, you know. And so, I mean, that's why he runs up and down the stage, you know. He's getting all that energy out. You don't think it's because of his watch and trying to get all his steps in, do you? He's trying to get that energy. I mean, he's got so much energy. I'm like, ooh, he wears me out. But I'm telling you, he was like that as a kid. What you see now is what he was. He hasn't changed. I tried to corrupt him, and I never could do it. But it's that passion, and that's what God gave him. He gave him that passion and to glorify him, and that's his platform. And then God, you know, but I was so passionate about hunting and fishing. I could sit in a tree all day long. I just can. I have the patience for it. I can fish all day long. As long as I get to keep some of the fish, I can do it, you know. I don't understand this catch and release bit. It's stupid, but anyway. But I want you to see something, though. I began to take that, and God used it in my senior year in high school for the hunting and fishing. I had a guy named Brian. That was a classmate of mine. Now, we didn't play football together. We were in a different circumstances. He was kind of a punk, really. He was in trouble all the time. But the one thing that we had in common is he loved to hunt, and I loved to hunt. So every time we got together, we'd talk about it. And then he said to me, he said, hey, you want to go hunting, duck hunting? And I go, yeah. And so that early that morning, I went with him. And I knew, for some reason, the Lord told me this is an opportunity. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, man, I really going because he said there was a lot of ducks. And we were going to do really well. And the Lord knew that was a way to get me to go. But I went early that morning. And I began to share my faith with him that morning as we were driving down in South Louisiana. And I began to tell him about the love of Christ. And he told me, he said, well, you know, I believe in Jesus, but, and I said, but Brian, it's not enough to believe in Jesus. You know, the demons in hell believe. It's to receive him and trust him and to walk in him. Have you ever done that? And he said, no. And I remember pulling on the side of the road and that where he prayed and trusted Christ. Well, you know that story, 6 weeks later, Brian was killed in a hunting accident. And so I want to tell that story real quickly because that was the seed that planted a ministry for my life for the next, as I got older in my 40s until now, what I'm doing for the last 23 years, God gave me a ministry with hunting and fishing. Because that was the seed that was planted in my heart, understanding that this was a passion of mine. This was something that I had in common with him. I had nothing else in common with him except for hunting. That was the only thing that I had in common with him. And God said, look, I can use that and use it for your glory. And so somehow my next platform in life became full-time and stepped out of the church work because I did a platform of student ministry. That's how you got Shelley Hooper. Shelley Hyde was her maiden name. I'm the one who set him and Scott up. I had them too as interns and couldn't keep them apart. They didn't do a good job for me that summer. They were too busy looking at each other. That's not true. But that was another platform that God had given me was student ministry too as well. So what I'm trying to get you to understand, there's more platforms that God has given us throughout our life. It's not always the same platform. What's your next assignment? What's your next platform that God's going to give you to use for his glory? And so I started Legacy Outfitters. And so Legacy Outfitters was a vision and a dream that God put on my heart. And it was to reach men for the cause of Christ, teaching men to be better husbands and better fathers and be the men God called them to be, using the passion of the outdoors. And so that was the next platform that I got on. So first thing we need to understand is God is the giver of platforms. The second thing I want you to look at and see today is your platform has a purpose. Ministry is not a title. It's how you serve others and make Christ known. That's what ministry is. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. That means in all that you do, God is looking for faithful people. He wants to shine through you in everyday situations. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let God use your platform for eternal impact. You know, there's times as doing this ministry, I can't tell you how many countless times where this platform of the outdoor platform has really reached a lot of people. I could spend a lot of time just telling you story after story, but able to lead guys in a duck blind, able to lead guys on a fishing trip, leading guys in a in a deer blind, you know. I recall one time when the owner of the ranch said, hey, Jeff, since you bring everybody all the time and you never really get to hunt, I'm going to let you kill whatever you want on this property. And he knew my love language. And I can't get that out of me. I don't know why. But anyway. And I said, really? He said, yeah, but I'm going to send a guy with you. Well, I said, if you're going to let me shoot whatever, well, why do you have to have somebody with me? He said, accountability, but I just want him in there. Okay. So as we get into the deer blind, I'm excited because, you know, hey, I love to hunt. I love to harvest. I love everything about it. I'm excited about it. And as I'm in the blind, in the box blind, he begins to talk to me. And I'm like, man, I thought you was a guide. I didn't think guides talked to you. And he began to talk to me, and then he started telling me his problems. And I'm looking out the little windows of the deer blind, and I'm reaching for my gun and then kind of going back and listening to him like I'm paying attention. And next thing I know it, he's got all kind of problems. And then I remember just putting the gun back in the corner and said, I guess I'm not hunting today, huh, Lord? Lord said, no, not today. And he came to Christ during that period of time. It's the platforms. It's the relationships that you build. It's what God's given you to use for his glory. If I ever say anything about hunting and fishing, you probably, back in the day, they would get mad and say, oh, you're just doing this so you can hunt on Sunday. Well, if that's what it took, I would hunt on Sunday. If that's what it meant for seeing someone come to Christ, then that, yeah. You know? But I don't forsake the assembly of God. This is important to me. I'm a product of the local church, and so is your pastor. local church comes first. But there are times when God calls us to go out into the world. We think that there's times where you have to have this great testimony. All you need to have is the love of Christ. You don't need anything else. Why do we think that we have to have that? Why do we think? I mean, I did. I remember being a senior in high school thinking, Lord, they on the football team saying, Lord, I know if I scored a bunch of touchdowns today, I would have a great audience, you know. And I do. I recall not only the good platforms, but the struggles in our lives. He uses those as well. And I remembered saying, Lord, the first time I touched the ball in this scrimmage, I raced for a touchdown. I said, Lord, this is great. Give me another one because they'll surely pay attention. I'll surely be able to share the gospel on the bus ride home because they will be looking to me and think that I'm somebody. I realized quickly that I was a Christian that happened to be a football player, not a football player that happened to be a Christian. And on the next play, when I got the ball, I went up the middle, and I got tackled and I fell backwards and dislocated my elbow really bad. And so they said I was going to be out for 8 weeks. And so I still had responsibilities being captain of the football team. So I went to the practice the next day in a half cast. And one of the guys that was there who was in a leg cast came to me while in the middle of the field and began to talk to me and asked me if I was bitter. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you better, you're not going to get to finish your senior year and rush all those yards and get the D1 scholarship. I said, no, I'm not bitter. I said, I serve a Christ that's more important. And he said, you know, there's such a peace about your life. See, what you need to understand is that your life, people are drawn to you as a believer. They're drawn to you. They want to be a part of your life because they see things in you that only Christ can give you. And so he said, hey, I see so much peace in you. I want what you have. Led him to the Lord in the middle of the field. I wanted to take him to the sideline where he got quiet. And he said, no, I'm afraid if I wait, I won't do it. Another platform. A platform through my struggle. God used the platform through my struggle. Several years ago, I went through depression, a platform that I wish not to ever get back on. But I went through it pretty, it affected me, changed me. But it changed me for the good. And now I thank God for that platform. I've been able to help so many people because of it. He takes our struggles and uses our struggles for a platform to glorify Him. I've been dyslexic my whole life. I never got healed from it. I've read one book my whole entire life. Goodbye, My Lady. It's a little children's book. that was a big struggle. But I thank God for that platform that He gave me for that struggle. I've been able to help more children and more kids, more adults than I could ever imagine if I didn't have that platform. You see, not only your platforms are His purpose, but your platform has a purpose. And not only does your platform have a purpose, but we're to stay humble and available. Humble and available. You know, I've had many platforms in my life, and I didn't know which ones I was going to get on next, but all I know is going to do the same thing. I've had people, we have a successful ministry because of the Lord with Legacy Outfitters. We've got a lot of people coming. A lot of guys are being discipled. That's my calling, is to disciple men. That's the platform God has put me on here in the last 25 years, is a platform to disciple men and through hunting and fishing, using their passions and their interest. But quite honestly, if you don't hunt or fish, I'll disciple you too. It really doesn't have anything to do with it. I know you know that, but I just want to say that out loud because I want you to hear that. There's some platforms that you have that you don't even know, and you're not even using them. You're not even touching. You're not even scratching. You don't even realize it's a gift that God's given you, and you just let it pass it by. You say, "Well, I'm not good enough. I don't feel that God can use me." Why would He give you a platform? Why would he give you a platform? Why would he give you ability to do something? Why would he give you a passion for something if you didn't use it? I would tell you, he's given you that. The last couple of years, ministry is kind of sped up a little bit for me, and more opportunities. After I came out of depression, the Lord had really just kind of put me in a shelter for a couple of years to prepare me for my next assignment. My next assignment was going to be even more so than the assignments I had earlier in my life. And he sheltered me for about three or four years in deep, dark depression. And as I came out of it, the phones began to ring. People began to ask me to do things for them again, once again. One of them was to go pastor a church that the pastor had passed away. And the wife called me and asked me if I would come help. And I really, the Lord just put on my heart and said, go check on those men because I know they're hurting. Steve was a good friend of mine, and he'd grown this church. So I said, yeah, I can help you come preach. And I went and preached a couple of sermons, and the next thing I know it, I've been there for the last 4 years. Because the Lord said, this is where I want you. This is your next assignment. I didn't see it coming, And now we have a lead pastor. Now I'm just there as a teaching pastor on occasion. It's been amazing. But during that transition, a restaurant asked me to be a chaplain in a seafood restaurant. That was a no-brainer. I didn't have to pray about that one. I go back in the kitchen and tell them, hey, that's not jambalaya. That was the worst thing about moving from New Orleans to Texas. I said, Lord, don't move me to Texas. They don't know what a gumbo and a jambalaya is. They think they're the same. And Lord said, that's why I'm sending you, so you can tell them. And so I remember my son said, you're now a chaplain at Buzzard Billy's? I go, yeah. He said, what do they pay you? I said, oysters? He said, Dad, they better rethink that. And so I began a new platform, one that I've never been accustomed to. And I'd start and get Bible study with the wait staff before the restaurant would open. And God started giving me the love for these people, for this wait staff. And so I told him, I said, your job is easy. I can do this. And I said, matter of fact, next Tuesday, I'm going to challenge you. I'll work a shift, and I'll make more money in tips than you will ever make. And if I do, then, if I don't, I'll give you the money, and, I won't bother you about coming to Bible study. But for the ones that haven't been coming, you've got to promise me you'll come. And they said, yeah. All right. And so we did. And I'm going to tell you that day, in tips, I had $700 in tips in a four-hour shift. And the owner would say, go watch what he's doing. And so when I would bring a sweet tea and unsweet tea, I said, which one have you got? He said, I got the sweet tea. And I go, yeah, you're right, that's sweet, And then I would sit down and I'd say, we want some crawfish. I said, how many pounds? One. My sister could order eat 1 pound of crawfish. Really? All right, give me five. He's upselling. Why can't y'all do that? But let me tell you the secret why. You think I've raised $700 because of my charm and good looks? I see that. Yeah, probably, yeah. And I would appreciate that. But I had friends come in. I had, except for the first couple, and really they gave me a $100 tip, and I have no idea. I was like, wow, I could do this. But the most that they raised that day was like $75 or $100. And then I gave it, I had enough to give them each $100. And then they came, the ones that would come. If I won. And they still to this day, that's been 5 years ago, they still don't know that they were all my friends that were coming. And so, yeah, that's right. Well, no, I don't, they're working right now. So anyway, so that was another platform, one that I wasn't accustomed to, but I love cooking. I love food, and God used that. And then the one that I want to tell you about, I've been doing the last 15 years, a platform that God has given me into one of the high schools, in Crawford High School, as their football chaplain. Had a credible opportunity to go and try to start that in the area, putting chaplains in the city of Waco. And so we started it at Crawford. Well, this past year, I've been doing it, like I said, 15 years. And, you know, just like everything else, as we get older or we've done it for a while, we think, you know what, it's probably time. It's probably time for me to move and hang it up. Quite honestly, I really wasn't enjoying it the last 2 years because they had some parents that just were uncharacteristic of Crawford. And it just really, it made me want to punch them in the mouth. And I know that's not good, you know. It wouldn't look good for an ordained minister. I would just say I was casting the demons out of them, but I don't know if that would fly. But I really got to the point where I just really wasn't enjoying this at all. It became a job. I mean, I've got people who ask me before those last 2 years, are you still doing the chaplain over at Crawford? I go, yeah. Well, your kids still go there? I go, no, maybe they've been going 8-10 years. And why are you still doing it? Well, why wouldn't I? God gave me this platform. Why wouldn't I use it? Why wouldn't I use it for His glory when I can share faith? And so, but this year, Chris and I had a talk. I'm doing too much. I don't know if I'm coming or going. I'm doing 4 Bible studies a week. And I say that not to impress you, but to say that, you know, I don't know how to say no. But I always told God, after when I came out of depression, I would never say no again. That was my thing. Lord, I will never say no again. And so I talked to her. They had a new coach come on. There was a new transition this coming August. So this was perfect. This is good timing for me. And this was a great time for me to go, you know what, coach? I was going to go meet him. I had an appointment with him. And Chris and I talked about it. We prayed about it. And so I was on my way down to tell him that I no longer was going to use this platform and that I was going to move on to another assignment. So when I got there, I really didn't want to like this guy. I really just wanted to I wanted him to irk me. I wanted him to be cocky. I wanted him to, I don't know what I wanted, but I wanted just to feel good about not staying. Well, that didn't happen. Matter of fact, when I got home, Chris Ann said, well, did you tell him? I said, I tried. But not only am I still the chaplain, this guy gave me a new assignment. I'll be doing a Bible study every Thursday morning with all the coaches. So now I've got another platform. But let me tell you about this platform, why God did not release me. Because there's times when you think you're not being effective on your platform that which God has given you, but if you'll show up, if you will just love on people, that is the secret to it all. And so here's what happened. Why God didn't release me. So there was a former coach that came back. And when I saw him, we hugged each other. And I was invited to the coach's retreat to do a Bible study and to cook for him. And so the new head coach heard I could cook. So another platform. And so I went and I shared. And on the way to my car, my truck to go home, he came to me and he said, hey, I want to talk to you. He said, I could see in his countenance, in his face, you've been doing this for a long time. You've begun to read people pretty well. And so I said, we need to meet. He said, yeah, we need to meet. So I said, okay. And you got to understand, I didn't know why God did not release me yet and why I'm still going to do another year as a chaplain. So we met the next day. And as we're sitting in a coffee shop, he looked at me and he said, I'm just lost. Never would have guessed it from him. He said, I'm struggling. And then God said, this is why I haven't released you. I haven't released you because you're not finished. You're not done. But I thought I was done. Lord, I'm tired. Yeah, I know, you'll be tired your whole life. Get over it. But Lord, I don't have the same excitement. That's okay. I'll give it back to you. Lord, I don't have the same zeal. I don't have the same passion. You will. And he was right. And so I was able to pray with him and coach receive Christ. And then, now I've got a discipling. Well, I don't have to open another day. He's there every Thursday morning. A group of 9 coaches. And they sit, and we're going through the minor prophets. Could you believe that? Minor prophets with coaches. And they're growing. And the students, they're growing. As I get the chance to speak to them on game day, I can't explain it to you. The new energy that he's given me. The passion that he's given me to be with these boys and to give them the 5-minute talk to share with them about what Christ is doing to me. That football is important, but let me tell you what's more important. Why would I not do that? Why would I not do those things? Why do I not have said, Holy Spirit, come and use me? You see, the problem is, I haven't been using the Holy Spirit to use all the strength and power through him. I can't do it on my own. I can't do things. I can't even write sermons. I have very few notes. And you want me to do this? Yep. Because it won't be you. It'll be me. And they will know it. So I thank God for those struggling platforms that he has put me on, because I know that it comes from God. So I'm excited. They went 2-3, they only won 3 games last year, and they've only lost 1 so far. It has nothing to do with winning, I know. I had a kid come up to me and he wanted to, I said, look, I'm the chaplain. You know, because they were saying, what's going on? How come we're not winning? I said, ain't got nothing to do with me. Y'all stink. And the quarterback, he came over to me and he said, hey, I'm going to rub your stomach for good luck. I said, you touch my stomach, I'm going to slap you. And he was struggling. So I said, and he went over to us real quick. He threw a bomb, touchdown. Now I got this kid wanting to rub my stomach every time he goes out on offense. Anyway. So what platform has God given you today? So we've looked at your platform is his purpose. God gives every believer a platform. Your platform has a purpose, and the last one is stay humble and available. Never confuse the platform with identity. Your identity is in Christ, not your role. You reach, or whatever it is, your recognition, it's not your role. When you surrender your platform to God, he does more with it than you can ever do. Proverbs 3:6 says, I in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Stay humble, stay teachable, stay available. Let God use you where you are. Let God use you where you are. What is your next assignment? What is your next assignment? What has God given you? What is your thoughts right now as you begin to realize and understand, you know what, my gosh, I've been given a platform and I haven't been using it. This isn't, look, get away from this. This is the platform that we're using to share Christ and share wisdom and things. But the platform really, the platform is when we go out. They're not coming just because you build a building. They're not coming just because, someone said, hey, come and go. You know, they're coming because you love them, you encourage them, and they see something different in you. They are drawn to you because of the fruit of the Spirit that is in your life. And as a believer, you have the fruit of the Spirit, and as the fruit of the Spirit will draw them to him. That's why they're coming to you. They're not coming to you for any other reason. And we need in every different time in our lives. I really believe God has used us in this timeline, in his work. He has put us here for this generation and for the next generation. And then he'll raise up others to put in that generation. But what he's done is he's saying, listen, I want you to use what I've given you. They're simple. This is not hard stuff. It is whatever you're passionate about. If it's collecting stuff, why wouldn't you use that for the glory of God? Whatever it is, it could be anything. If you're passionate about it and God's giving you that passion, why wouldn't you use that as a platform to share faith? Now, I've given you a lot of illustrations, probably too many. But I want you to recognize, you know what? I believe God's going to give me another platform before I'm gone. He's given me so many already, but I believe there's going to be another one. I don't know what my next assignment is, but I'm going to live out this one. And I'm not going to leave the platform in which he got me on because I'm tired and because I'm old. I'm only going to leave it when he tells me. But that coach got saved, so I think I'm released. I just want to take just the last few minutes. I just want you to really think about, what is your platform? What is it that God's given you? What has God given you? Does the band come back? So I'm on my own. I heard you sing. I'm getting you to sing. Just want to take a moment. You don't have to come to the altar. You can't come to the altar. But I just want this next few minutes, just you beginning to think about what it is that God wants me to do with the platform he's given me. And have I been a good steward of that platform? And can I do more? And what's my next assignment? He's given every believer spiritual gifts, and he's given every believer a platform. He's given you multiple platforms. So let's begin. However you feel led. If you have to get quiet, get quiet. If you need to come to the altar, come to the altar. Stand to our feet as we continue in a quiet gesture. Have you thought about the platform of struggles? Maybe it's time that you thanked him for that struggle. Maybe he's doing more with that struggle than you ever imagined. Prepare your hearts for the next assignment God has for you, because he's got one for you. And then lastly, I'll tell you is identify your platforms. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you, Father, for the way it's been a light in a darkened world and darkened community, Lord. And you've been a light. This Cottonwood has been a source of hope. And we're so grateful and thankful for it. And Father, as you continue to send more people to get help and hope. So we're grateful for that. Thank you for the way you use us, and Father, the way that you care about us. So I thank you for all these things, Lord, and I thank you for this morning, for the opportunity to share just some simple things that you have shown me, and just grateful to be able to share those. I thank you now in Jesus' name, amen.